First Corinthians chapter 4. And since it was erased last week, then we'll just go back to verse 9 and move our way forward. Verse 9, Paul says, "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, as last, as it were appointed to death. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men." One thing we did talk about was the way that the apostles were treated is not the way that the ministers are treated today. Because none of these things, he says, "I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last." Today, they're not last. They're in the forefront. He says, "as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and unto angels and to men." And we talked about that. What a spectacle is, where we get the word spectacular, spectator. It's something to behold, something to look at. And it's not, like I said, it's things that they saw in those days. It was, they had the gladiator games. That was a spectacle, right? Where they brought those people in, and it not only drew the interest of those people, but it promoted or provoked some feelings in those people that some would say, "Kill them." They love that. Some would pity them. And they say, "Are you going to give everything up for this man? For Jesus Christ?" And they would watch those people and they would die. They would die in that field when they refused to blaspheme. When he persecuted those believers, he says, look at Acts 26. I think it's 26. He did what? That's exactly what he did. Acts 26, verse 8. Start at verse 8. He says, "Why should it be," this is Paul before Agrippa, and giving his testimony. Acts 26:8, he says, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily," this is Paul speaking, he says, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." So when you think he pulled those people, when he said, when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Those people were, like Paul said, they were, as it were, appointed unto death. I think Karen said 2 weeks ago something about being a martyr. You know what a martyr is? The same word that we use for witness is a martyr. Well, the same Greek word is derived from the same word. Those people were not only witnesses, but they knew that their end would be death. Would you do that today?
You believe you will.
Listen, this.
It's not tough. It just depends on you.
There's, look, they tell you right now, If you go to China, don't bring that.
The Bible.
If you go to those countries, and they know you're a Christian,
can you bring the Quran?
That's it. You can bring it. Yeah. They're right. They're Islam. They're Muslim. So
Chinese?
No, I thought you meant in Iran.
Oh,
Iraq.
I know about those.
But there, as a Christian believer, you're signing when you go on the missionary journeys. You're almost signing up to be not just a witness, but a martyr. You know, I thought about this the other day where it was a guy at Sunday. I was in the class, in the Sunday school Sunday, and the preacher, he said, he doesn't usually converse with me, the other guys do, but he stood up, he said, I want to welcome my friend here. He's back again. I haven't seen him in a while. He said, stand up. And I thought he was talking to somebody else, and he said you. So I stood up.
He didn't know your name.
And he knew my name. Yeah, I stood up, and he says, "Go ahead and give us some final remarks, you know, on the lesson or whatever." I'm like, okay. So I went through a few things, and he says, "I met him like years ago in the bookstore." And he says, "I met him in the bookstore, and I got to. It was ironic because I got to know the deacons, and then he stopped really talking to me." Which I guess he figured they'll take care of him.
Yeah.
I'm just a lowly, you know, lowly guy, whatever. So, but I would highlight the Sunday school sometimes, but he didn't ask me. The guys would ask me. But he said, when are you going to join here? He said, you've been visiting? I said, I don't have a place where I'm going to land yet. You know, I said, there's, you know, when I leave here, I go to the place that I, you know, considered my church home, I guess you can say that. And he said, I talked so much I forgot where I was going with that. But,
he asked you to stand up and give some final comments.
Yeah.
Trying to send you overseas?
No, I don't know what it was. It might come back to me, but 1 Corinthians 4. When you those people, you see that even when Stephen was when he preached to them, he was. He was a martyr. We went to Hebrews 11, and all those people, what they stood for, they were martyrs, and in the scripture called them over there, he called them gazing stocks. Where you look at them, and even when the Lord's on the cross, they say they walk by. Those that walk by, he said, they wag their heads. You know, like, it was a spectacle. They looked at him and said, you know, it's like, I can't believe that. And if you saw someone being punished openly and taking it, you would be looking almost in awe. You know, I'll just quote this. You know, when Jesus was being crucified, Pilate asked him, he says, go see if he's dead yet. Because he was amazed that he was already dead. But you know, we know that the Lord gave up his life. They didn't kill him per se. I mean, they did murder him, but he died when he was ready to die. That's, I mean, all that too. That was what I'm saying. To this is when he said this. He said, "We'll get back to it." He says, "No man takes my life." He said, "This commandment I have with my Father." He says, "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. And he goes through, he said, you destroy this temple, I'll do what? I'll raise it up. He's telling them, he says, I have power. This is my show. He said, you're doing nothing but what my Father allows you to do. So when he's on the cross, they're looking at him. He's a spectacle.
Strong words.
He's a spectacle. Even when he's in the hall, when he's being tried, and there he says, who are you? That's what he asked him. He says, who are you? Are you a king? He said he marveled greatly at Jesus. He said, don't you know what's getting ready to happen to you? He said, you have no power. Don't you? He said, I can call 10,000 angels. One would get the job done, but he said, I can call 10,000. But he went, he allowed himself to be a spectacle. And the apostles, you know what? The apostles, you have to volunteer. They had to volunteer. I believe, you know, they could have said, I don't think I want to do this. I don't think I want to do this. When he says, follow me, they could have, no. But they went, and as they began to follow him, they knew this is what's next. I'll tell you a secret. And we Christians today in the United States, but you probably are 10, 20 years from this stuff right here. That's when us's, yes, where you, right, you know, even though it won't take a lot. It won't take a lot. It's happening right now, where when these people come over here and they're not believing this, your gospel, and if they come in and say, when they see Grace Bible Study, and they say, well, some Christians, what do you think Paul did? He says, I punished them even unto strange cities. When he went in, he said, first thing I'm looking for is a synagogue. And when he saw the synagogue, he went in and said, you believe in Jesus? Oh, sure we do. Get him. He says, women and men. And compel to, how do you think he compelled them to blaspheme? You say you believe in Jesus, you better say I don't.
Self-preservation.
But listen, he wasn't just sitting there saying, say you don't believe. There was some punishment going on.
Yeah, he wasn't just pointing his finger.
He wasn't just pointing his finger, Frank. He may have been pulling their fingernails off. I don't know if he was doing that, but you get the picture?
Yeah.
Suppose you go over here and you got your son, you're out there, you're in Bible study, somebody pulls up and they grab Lisa and pull a knife out. Okay, Mike. You denounce Jesus Christ right now or she gets it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, he's threatening.
I know what I would do. And you don't want to hear my answer.
What would you do?
I'm going to read 1 Corinthians. Chapter 4. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles as last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. You know, that's, isn't that something? Where, that's why I think you might think this is somewhat fantasy, where you read that and you say, you know, the angels are actually observing the body of Christ. And even there, when he elaborates on it, even more so then, but you think that here they are, and they look, you know, angels are ministering spirits, that's what Hebrews says. And they want to see, how far is your ministry going to go before you quit? And they look, and you got to know, they look at this, and they look at the grace working in the apostles. And this is, I'm just saying this for, like Paul says, I speak as a man, just to give you an idea. This is where they sit, maybe they're all gathered together, the angels. This is hypothetical. And it says, here's Paul, it says, he's going to Antioch. And they already told him this, if you go here, they're going to get you. Okay. So he said, you think he's going to quit? I bet he quit. He ain't quit. Yeah, he's going to quit. And he goes in there, and he says, he's going in, he won't quit.
That's a reality.
And he goes in, you know what? You know what happened in Lystra? They stoned him to death. But the Lord raised him up. And you know what he said? He says, we're going to go back there. Can you imagine the angels in the... And he goes, he's going back. He can't believe he's going back. Wow. But they see, you know what? They see the grace of God working in the apostles. And they say, that's a minister. That's men. They never had that. They were never put in that situation. They were always... Those who say they are his ministers. And even those who didn't, they can say, you know what? We should have stayed on the winning side. But they see this. And you have to imagine they're looking also with awe. Because you know what keeps the apostles going? The same with us. You know what keeps us going? That. What else?
But
how does you said the
new purpose.
The love.
The love of Christ constrains us. We've been given a purpose that far surpasses anything this life has to offer.
The hope, all this works together, right? But Paul, you know what he says in 1 Corinthians 15?
Something about resurrection.
He says, well, look at that. 1 Corinthians 15.
He said a lot in that chapter.
I thought for sure, Ed went to sleep on me back there. He's not, he's flipping, but he's not. I thought he would get it. Annette, she didn't get it. Mike, Lisa, Frank, okay.
I know.
It is. That's why I'm going to tell you. Verse 10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but what? The grace of God, which was with me. So is his love? Yes. The hope? Yes. But you know what was working in him?
Grace of God.
The grace of God. Where he saw how much he loved them, he saw what he had in front of him, he saw the purpose, and it's what enabled him was the grace of God. It's the same thing that's in us by the Holy Spirit. You know, the only way that we change is by the grace of God. Is we are strong in his grace. That's the only thing that'll change a person, a believer. Classes won't change them. Singing won't change them. Serving, when I say serving, I mean serving in the building. Won't change them. It won't change a person. They have to experience the grace. You have to experience the grace of God for yourself. It will never. I was talking to a guy last night. He called me. He said, "What do you think about this? Everybody's talking about this. What do you think about this?" I said, he was asking me about marriage. This is the big thing in the grace movement now. It's coming up. But everybody's talking about marriage and divorce and remarriage. So, and I'm sitting there. He says, "What do you think about Moses with Moses?" I said, "Moses suffered them to give their wives a bill of divorcement." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because of the hardness of their hearts. That's why." And I said, "Today," I said, "we're in the grace movement. Of course, believers will get divorced. Why? You know why? Huh? Because of the hardness of their heart." I think it was.
Selfishness.
Thank you. Selfishness.
2 weeks ago.
Right. It's the only thing. That's what does it. Is it your hardness? And what the Lord does is, He says, "Be gracious." You got grace, right? He says, "Give grace." The only way you give grace is you have to be prepared to serve. If you're not prepared to serve, you can't give what you don't have. Right? So
if Paul walked in here right now, there would only be one to two people that would.
If Paul walked in here?
Yeah.
What do you mean? It would be only
the same offer that he made when he went into Corinth?
Corinth? What offer was that?
Well, that was to, you were making an example on believing and not believing.
Oh, who are the two people? Paul and who else?
Yes.
Paul and...
I don't know.
You.
we
know one, right? Paul would be one. That would,
no, I said two in here. You think this whole room would say, I believe, and he's going to kill you right there?
I can't speak for the room.
The old Paul.
Oh, yeah. You know what? He may, we may all walk out of here. When I say we may all walk out of here, we may all say, "I don't know the man." Right? We may all be, you know what? We get out and you'd be standing by the door waiting for the next person. Like, oh, you got out.
We don't have that option. The next section, the tribulation,
we
won't have that option.
Right. So, but right, said the grace of God is what empowered those people, what motivated them, and the grace of God should motivate us. You know, Titus said this. He said, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation teaches us to deny
all kinds of things
to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, looking for that blessed hope." If the grace of God is not working in you, guess what? You won't be living soberly and righteously, and you won't be looking. You'll be looking on this earth. You won't be looking for the blessed hope. So the spectacle. Oh, I know. I thought it'd come back up. When I stood up and I told him I was looking, still looking, and when I got through, he said, "Well, I'm gonna let these guys right here convince him to become a member here." So we dismissed, and when I got ready to go, a guy came up to me, and he was just looking like, "All right, how you doing?" He's like, how you doing? I was like, he says, I know you. I'm like, you do? And I was looking, I was like, he said, I know you from somewhere. He was one of my customers. We had designed the HVAC setup for the guy. I don't remember all the faces, but he said, I remember you. And I said, okay. I said, wow. And he was at this place. I didn't know he went there. And when I said spectacle, of, he was watching me.
Yeah.
And he told that guy, he told one of the deacons, he said, that's a good guy. And I'm thinking, where did I see him and what was I doing? Even though it was, you know, it was obviously good. But thank God, because I could have been doing something else. But that would make me think about a spectacle was where he was watching me, and he was watching me like, I don't know what the look was like. Like he's trying, like it was an alien or something. Now, you know, I remember, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, now I know. But anyway, that was what I was thinking about. So Paul said, we are spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. He's contrasting him and the Corinthians. He said, we are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even until this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, and being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. And the that was chapter 4. And then what we talked about last week was, how does that compare today? The Corinthians, they were living high on the hog. You see the contrast he gave there? He says, if you walked in and were looking for a spiritual, for God's people in Corinth, you would say it wouldn't be the Corinthians, because they didn't fit the bill.
They didn't look too good.
Well, when I say they didn't look good, they didn't look good as far as this list. He says, you're weak. We're weak. You're strong.
You're honor.
We're what? We're dishonor. We're despised. Just think about those things.
But it was a nomenclature, and they were caught in the world's definition of success. And
were they believers?
Yes.
Everything they were what?
Carnal
believers. They went along.
So they didn't have fun.
They didn't have. They went along. They went. I think he said this, they went with the broad, the wide gate. They went with the. You know what? We go along. They compromised, and that, you know what? They like him. You go along with the crowd, and you blend right in.
And the pastor and the pulpit compromise and culture. Go on, church.
Listen, that's what, if when you see the popularity of believers, one thing, if people don't, when you see the popularity, one thing you got to know and believe this, that God is not in the crowd. I know you say, well, wait a minute. When you see places running over and they're all popular and all this big stuff's happening,
Yeah. Sure.
I'm not saying that. Listen, the Corinthians were saved. Were they not? I'm not saying those people aren't saved. I'm saying that
their desires and feeding their flesh, their emotions, their carnal souls.
The Corinthians, the problem, you know why Paul wrote to the Corinthians? They were picking the world and men over what God wanted. And they were not sanctified.
They were not sanctified, or they were not living sanctified lives.
That's exactly. They were, look, the moment you get saved, the moment you say, I trust Christ, you're sanctified. Positionally. Positionally, that's
practically. They were living
so,
apart from their sanctification.
Do you know you're in heaven right now? You're in heavenly places right now? Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yes. You're seated positionally in heavenly places right now in Christ.
Okay.
Let me give a different example. Do you know that right now you have a spot in Washington? Everybody's name is on the register in Washington right now. Everybody. Social Security numbers. Everybody. But you're sitting right here. If we can do that in men's situations, what about God?
Oh, yeah. He had a way before the computer.
So, when he saves us, he automatically sanctifies us. You're set apart because he wants to use you. But he still says, I can't use you. I can't sanctify you unless you're dead. Yield. Yes. What's that?
No,
yes. And what would your doctrine tell you? Your doctrine would say, now that he saved you, why don't you serve? Yep. Yep, you're dead. He said that. Just before all that, after the death and before the serving, something happens. Surrender. Where Paul says, present.
Yes,
she's in church. The Corinthians, you know what? They got saved. They were sanctified right there. And then they went right back.
They were serving themselves.
Themselves, yeah. They were serving themselves, right. They weren't sanctified in their walk. Because they looked at this. It says, if I surrender to the Lord, they won't like me. If I surrender to the Lord, I can't go to the temple anymore. Now, you know, they had temples in Corinth. You know what temples they had in the Corinth, right?
Yeah.
He says,
you go to the club.
There you go. Modern day, right. I can't go to the club. Listen, that same thing happened. You know why people don't get saved today? Because they think of all that stuff that they got to give up.
I'm not ready to give that stuff up yet.
They think about.
I'm not done living yet.
Right, living, right. They're not done living yet. That's why a lot of people don't. Because they automatically think that God's a killjoy and he's going to take all this away from me.
I think you have to be perfect for you.
That's right. Take one step at a time.
They don't think that. They just. Use it as an excuse.
I believe they think that, Frank.
People,
you know why I know they think that? Because I thought that.
Sure. I haven't ever thought that. Some people don't.
Right, there's exceptions. Well, but I did. I thought that. until I read, you know, the first thing is first is to trust Him. You know, just as I am, you come and that's what He died for. If you get through with all that stuff, you know what? When our pastor used to joke, he said, "You're going to come when you get straightened out." He said, "When you come, you're going to be straightened out, all right?" He said, "I'm going to be looking over your box right there, saying that Frank was a good guy, but he didn't get saved because he was waiting to get straightened out." Well, he's straightened out now. And he's too late. And he would, you know what? He'd tell those people in those funerals, he says, "You know, if you say, bring the bottle with you. And you can't, I can't bring it with you. I can't quit, bring the bottle with you. I can't quit smoke, bring them with you. Bring the cigarettes with you." And then you would find out, you know what? After a while, it's going to drop off. You don't have to struggle with, bring it with you. He said, look at this. Look at Corinthians. Read Corinthians. Look at chapter 7. Verse. Now, you know what? Paul went into Corinth. Those people got saved. They got saved. Some of them. Listen, if you with Jenny, both of y'all lost. You hear me, Paul, you get saved. You go home, guess what? She's not. Paul, I got a problem. Jenny's not saved. Should I leave her?
No.
Uh-oh. He says, look. He says, 7:12. "But to the rest I speak, not I, not the Lord, if any brother," Blake, "hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away." And the woman which had a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. And I just use that as an example, is what people, when you, it stops people from getting saved. But you know what? I live with my boyfriend. I live with my girlfriend. Bring her with you.
But that's how the church is, like, growing up. It's like you always, like, even the Bible stories that you always grew up hearing, you never looked at it like they, like all the sin that they did. Even, you know, the apostles and the people under God, like, until later you realize it's like they're doing real bad things, but they're still men of God. And that, it's not condoning it, it's just showing the.
It's just like us.
How bad, you know, we are.
We all cut from the same cloth. And it's dirty.
But everybody in the church would act, you know, like, you know, act perfect, right? You know, get this faith.
Right.
So it seems like, you know, they, you just felt like, well, I'm not like that. So it just makes you feel, like you said, that you got to be perfect before you.
Right. Saved. And you can't fit that bill.
Yeah, really.
Right, right. Okay. Let's keep moving here. He says, he uses all these things. He says, verse 14, he says, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you." He says, I didn't give you that comparison to make you look bad. He says, I'm doing this to warn you. You know, if you went and told a believer, says, "Look, man, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing here, you're going there, you saved," and of course you might feel bad if they call you to the carpet on it. But Paul says, "I'm not saying this to scold you." He says, "I'm just warning you." Constructive criticism. He says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Now, if anybody cared about their state, it would be Paul. Would you agree with that? If anybody cared about their relationship with the Lord, it would be Paul. Now, some people, they just want to, like I said, I saw you. I saw you. You say you're a Christian? I saw you. Oh, I heard you. But a father would say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Not so I can say, but that whatever you say, it should minister grace to the hearers. Because he wants, you know what? What's that?
Out of love, too.
Right.
Trying to catch someone.
Right. Because he wants, you know what? Paul was after growth, after edifying the body. Because he said, he didn't say as fellow Christians, I warn you. He didn't even say as sons, I warn you. Did he? He used an adjective. What did he say? As my beloved sons, I warn you. You know what? That does something for me every time when I read it and I see how Paul loved the saints, it just does something to me when I read that. Because he was after them, man. He was after them. I mean, he wanted them to grow. He wanted them to be all that Christ wanted them to be.
He wanted what Christ wanted.
And he says, I would, like when Paul was for Agrippa, he says, Paul, you almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. And he says, man, I wish that everybody was like me, except these chains. Don't you love that? Y'all want to read that? Y'all want to read that? Acts, look at Acts. Acts 26. That's one of my favorite passages. He says, I'm saying to Agrippa, he says, that none of the things, verse 23, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, 26:23, and show light unto the Gentiles and unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Don't you love that? Can you imagine if you're sitting there and you hear Paul? And they said, man, you crazy. What are you talking about? He said, oh, no, I'm not crazy. He said, I got good sense. And he said, I like what he said. He said, I'm speaking before the king whom I'm speaking freely. In case you forgot, Festus, he gave me the go-ahead to say what I'm saying. And he said, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. Isn't that great? He says, I know you believe. Can you imagine what's going on in his mind?
If
Agrippa, where, you know what? And he knew. And he says, I know, King Agrippa, that you are an expert in these customs. You know. And Agrippa, he's probably running these Old Testament scriptures through his mind, and Paul's preaching to him. And he's squirming in his seat. And he's like, oh, he knows it's true. He knows it's true. He's sitting there. And in that point, he says, almost.
He doesn't
want to
be a spectacle.
He doesn't want to be a spectacle. He's going to have to give up too much. I'm the king. If I'm the king and he's the king, we got a problem. If I'm the king and he's the king, somebody got to get off the throne.
Must have got preaching to him. Be like me. He sent me the boss.
Listen. That's how you know. You know what? A guy, we'll be done in a minute. One of the guys, he called me. He says, how's the class going on Thursday? And I said, well, I ran off. We're down to 4. I said, I ran off about 11, so we down to 4. We're doing real well. And he was like, huh?
What?
I said, it's going fine. Because I know he's thinking the opposite.
Yeah.
That he's like, you went from 16 to 4? That's going, you, that's not working. And to me, it's working great. So you know what? This is what, when you look at this, this is what the believing, this sometimes this is what it puts you in this position. Is you can go somewhere, they got a credit union, they got kids programs, holiday programs, free food every week. They got all the trappings that, you know, that we like.
You get birthday here every week, too.
It might be a spread, at least. It's not like a big spread, but we get a donut, huh? Donut and coffee and water. But those are things that you have to make up in your mind, like the Corinthians. They had to make up in their mind that being a believer is that's the beginning. That's the beginning. It's just the beginning. And the one more thing, it's individual. You can't take a crowd with you. We just saw Paul, he says, I wish you believe like I believe. You won't take a crowd. It's individual. You know what? He says, study to show thyself approved. Thyself, me, unto God, not the pastor or the parishioners. That's what we do. We like to impress the people. You know, I thought that, don't you? And that's my time.
I can understand how, like, churches and stuff, like bigger churches, you know, just the organization, when they have a problem with the grace message, but.